What's up, church? It's Vision Sunday. Anybody excited for Vision Sunday? Yes. Week in, week out, we're in the trenches, preaching the word, feeding the hungry, serving our neighbors, and praying for our city. But sometimes you got to step back and ask big questions like, why are we here? Who are we? Where have we been? Where are we going? And what's my part? In fact, every year on Vision Sunday, we answer those five questions because we want to be clear about the specific calling that God has given us as a church so that we can unite around that vision. But Vision Sunday on 2020 is special, right? 2020 vision, you get it? Oh, this could go in a lot of different directions, okay? Now listen, I really think that the church shouldn't take itself too seriously. And when it comes to puns, Christians are the best or the worst, depending on your perspective. And so I had a little contest this week with our staff to see who could come up with the best 2020 vision slogan, okay? Are you ready for these? Okay, here's the top five, all right? 2020 vision, a farsighted people in a nearsighted world. Okay, here's number four. 2020 vision, overcoming the stigmatism of sin. Number three, 2020 vision, removing the plank one eye at a time. It's just so good because it's so bad, right? All right, and number two, 2020 vision, pupils of Christ. And your number one 2020 vision slogan, cross-eyed for Jesus. Okay, now it's good. We need to be able to laugh at ourselves a little bit. But in all seriousness, today is a day where we look to the Lord for his vision for our church. We don't want to just go through the motions or check off religious boxes. This is a pivotal moment in our culture, and we need clear direction from God. And I've been so excited for today because I believe that God has given us a clear and compelling vision for this year to come. And it's not just me. This isn't an individual, spontaneous kind of vision. Our pastors have gone through a process of prayer and discernment that started all the way back in July of last year. So this is not my vision that you need to get behind. No, we believe that this is God's vision for all of us. And since it's God's vision, let's begin our time looking to God in prayer. Pray with me. God, we want what you want for our church. We want to see your vision played out in our church and in this city. And Lord, as we look back, we're overwhelmed with gratitude that in your sovereign plan that you have planted us in this city. And for 14 years, you have been so faithful and so good to us, and you have done such an incredible work. And so, God, we pray today as we look forward in this year to come, we ask that you would lead us. We ask that you would guide us. We pray that you would do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. And God, we ask that wherever you would lead us, that you would give us the faith to follow you, that we might see your kingdom come and your will be done, right here in Los Angeles, as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm gonna answer five big questions, and the first is this: why are we here? Well, in short, we're here because Los Angeles is broken, but we believe it can be made new by Jesus. And when I say that LA is broken, don't get me wrong. Los Angeles is a great city. We've got an abundance of creativity, endless opportunity, great food, amazing weather. We're within an hour of the beach or the desert or the forest or the mountains. But DJ Waldy, who is a top scholar on LA history and culture, says this: Los Angeles does not add up to its cliches. The tropes of sunshine and noir never explain very much about this flawed, tragic, and humanizing city. And if you live here long enough, you quickly start to see beneath the surface. LA is great, but it's a hard city. It's expensive. It's competitive. It's isolating. It's exhausting. And so people come here ambitious, but if they stay, they usually end up disillusioned and jaded. And you see this in everyday life, but it also plays out in extreme ways. Los Angeles has the highest homeless population in the country, over 36,000 people sleeping on the streets every night. That's bigger than many American cities altogether. We have the largest foster care crisis in the nation with over 34,000 kids in the foster care system. 1 out of 5 people here live below the poverty line, and 1 out of 7 people in LA go to bed hungry every night. And those numbers have just gone up since last year. But it's not just about numbers, of course. We're talking about real people, like Mark, who sleeps next to the Chinese restaurant by my house, or like LaTanya, who comes to the Hope Center for food every day, or like the foster child I heard about recently who was found as a newborn abandoned in a field. This city is broken. But at the heart of this brokenness is a spiritual problem. Of course, I don't mean that there's a lack of spirituality in LA, oh no. A good Angelino prays to crystals, trusts in stars, and believes in themselves. People are very spiritual in LA. But amidst all the problems in this city, the most tragic thing about Los Angeles is that it's filled with millions of people who don't know Jesus. They don't experience the peace and joy and meaning they were made for in life. And so they wander through life trying to fill the void with career success or wealth or fame. So Los Angeles is broken, but we believe it can be made new because Jesus loves Los Angeles. The people who are overlooked, Jesus sees them. The people who are unwanted, Jesus wants them. The people who are rejected, Jesus accepts them. The brokenness of Los Angeles is nothing compared to the love of Jesus. And Christ is doing an incredible work of renewal here, and he's called us to take part in that. That's why our vision is that we are seeking the renewal of our city through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about renewal, we mean spiritual renewal, where the lost are being saved and built up in Christ. We're talking about relational renewal, where the lonely are being brought into a family. We're talking about cultural renewal so that the city of angels might better resemble the city of God. And we believe that all comes about through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But how do we go about seeking this renewal? Well, we make disciples of Jesus who love God, one another, and our city. It's not just about saying a prayer or going to church every once in a while. No, we are following Jesus together, learning to live for him in every single aspect of our lives. And we all come to this city for different reasons. Some of you were born and raised in LA. Some of you moved here for school or maybe to take a job, or some of you came here just to get a fresh start. But while we all come here for different reasons, I believe that God in his great plan has brought us here for his own reasons. God has called us here for his mission of making all things new. You know, January 1st of 2020 marked 7 years for my family and I of being in Los Angeles. And there are a variety of reasons that we ended up coming out here. But ultimately, I believe I'm here because I'm sent by God. We didn't move to LA because we liked it, but because we felt called here. And though we didn't move here because we like it or even love it, we've quickly grown to love this city and put down roots in this city. And so while I can say I'm here because I'm sent by God, I believe that that's just as true for you. You may have come here for whatever reason, but I believe that God has called you here. We're in a city where there's such a great need, but we have an even greater Savior. And so why are we here? We're here because we believe that Los Angeles is broken but can be made new by Jesus. And that leads to the second question. Who are we? Well, we're a church, obviously, right? Although some people get confused by that. I mean, you know, I get it with the name. Some people think, Reality LA, is that like a reality TV show or something? Maybe a production studio or something like that? Like, no, we're a church named after a Bible verse. Did you know that? Colossians 2:17 says, these are only the shadow of the things to come, but the reality is Christ. Now we could talk about the meaning of that passage in its context, but at the end of the day, it means that all of the scriptures are fulfilled in Christ. All of our longings are satisfied in Christ. All of our questions are answered in Christ. We're all searching for something of substance and meaning, something real. And the Bible says Jesus is reality. And because we have Christ, we can be real or authentic with one another. We're not playing a religious game or wearing a mask. We're living in light of Jesus and the fullness of his grace. So you might hear that, and some of you might think, oh, okay, like you're a church named after a Bible verse that focuses on Jesus. Great. But there's lots of different kinds of churches. So what kind of church are you? How about this? We're a gospel-centered, spirit-empowered, God-glorifying kind of church. We're a Bible-preaching, justice-doing, neighbor-loving kind of church. We're an every tribe and tongue kind of church. We're our differences make us better kind of church. We're a grace and truth kind of church. We're the kind of church that believes that God loves the unborn and the immigrant, the rich and the poor, the conservative and the liberal. We're the kind of church that believes that the gospel transforms not only your soul, but also your work and your sexuality and your finances and your emotions and everything in your life. We're the kind of church that prays. We're the kind of church that prays constantly. We're the kind of church that prays desperately. We're the kind of church that loves Los Angeles. We're the kind of church that loves the marginalized in Los Angeles. We're the kind of church that loves the other churches in Los Angeles. It's pretty simple, really. We're the kind of church that believes that Jesus changes everything. That's the kind of church we are. Now that we've answered that question, we can ask, well, where have we been? In the Old Testament, God constantly calls his people to pause, to look back, and to celebrate all that he's done. And so let's do that. Let's look back on 2019. What a year. This is a full year for us as a church. A lot of new things, a lot of new friendships, a lot of new marriages. My goodness, the other pastors and I, we were sitting around the other day thinking maybe we should try and count up all the weddings that we did. And we quickly gave up on that, okay? A lot of weddings, a lot of new babies that are being born, new jobs, new homes, all kinds of stuff. It was a full year for us as a church. But above all, when we talk about celebrating what God has done, in 2019, a lot of people got saved and a lot of people got baptized. Can we praise God and give him glory for that? Come on, story after story of Jesus changing lives. I know people who got saved who had never been to church in their life. I know people who got saved who had been running from God for decades. I know people who got saved who had to repent of their religious self-righteousness and genuinely trust in Jesus for the first time. Praise God for the work that he's done. And as a church, throughout the last year, we talked about how God was calling us to be rooted, like a tree planted by streams of water. We talked about being rooted in the city. And so we spent a lot of the year in the book of Jeremiah learning to be a faithful presence in exile. We talked about wanting to be rooted in Christ. So we spent 3 weeks in John 15 learning to abide. We talked about being rooted in the church. And so we did a series called Why Church Matters, where we learned that the church is a family of sinners saved by grace. And as I look back on this last year, I was amazed at how the Lord did this work of rootedness so much in our church. I saw so many people getting serious about their faith, people committing to the church for the first time, people settling down in LA and committing to the city for the long haul. And listen, we also talked about how rootedness is a mentality that you have wherever God calls you. We are a sent and sending people. And so there's no shame for people who have moved or will move out of LA. The goal, as we talked about, is to put down roots wherever God plants you. And if that's somewhere else, we won't shame you. We'll pray for you and send you. But either way, God has called us all to rootedness. And as we talked about being rooted, we made 3 goals at the beginning of 2019 as a church: to settle into the Hope Center, to establish regional leadership, and to cultivate commitment. So let's look back and see how we did on those goals, okay? First of all, we talked about settling into the Hope Center. If you're new with us, the Hope Center is a church building that's right down the street here that was given to us along with an office building. And we received a food ministry and a recovery program and some incredible people through all of that. And so at the beginning of 2019, that's when everything was official of receiving these properties, we made the goal of settling into that space and the different ways that we would. So first of all, by God's grace, we were able to continue the food ministry that has been going on there. And in 2019, we served over 50,000 meals to the poor and homeless in Los Angeles. Yeah. Many of you were able to get involved in that process and come and volunteer by driving a truck to pick up food or sorting food or helping prep the food or doing dishes afterwards. It was so beautiful to see people getting plugged in. One of the memories that's etched in my mind is from Thanksgiving Day, where we had a huge feast. I mean, hundreds of Thanksgiving dinners, and we had it inside, decorated everything beautifully, and it was so awesome to be able to see people come in on Thanksgiving and to have a warm meal with other people. It was so great to see volunteers come in and whole community groups coming in and helping out with all of that. So we settled into the Hope Center by getting plugged into the food ministry, also by seeing the recovery program continue in a beautiful way. We've got an amazing group of guys in our recovery program that are coming off the streets, that are getting off of drugs, and God's doing an incredible work in all of their lives. One of those guys is named Caesar. And there was an article written recently in the Los Angelino magazine about Caesar and the incredible change that's happened in his life. It talked about how just a year ago, Caesar was sleeping on the street, addicted to heroin, and having been rejected by everyone in his family. "I was hopeless," he said when he came to the Hope Center, like so many others have said. But after being in the recovery program at the Hope Center, Caesar's life has completely been turned around. He's been sober, he's rebuilding relationships, and now he's the head chef in the kitchen, cooking meals for the same people who are in the position that he was in the year before. Praise God. And when we talk about settling into the Hope Center, it's not just about the ongoing ministries there, but also one-off events that are constantly happening there throughout the week. So we look back on 2019 and we can just see how this was a ministry hub with things happening day and night there. So just to give you a little glimpse of some of the ways that the space is being used. We had a baby shower for pregnant teens in LA's foster care system. That was incredible to see. We've had trainings and forums and youth events. There's been prayer meetings and services. The space is just constantly being used for ministry. One of the ways that we settled into the Hope Center this year was moving our staff into the office building. So in May, we were able to move into the office, and this is such a big deal for us because we've rented office space all over the city of Los Angeles. And so to be able to move into this space, all I can say is it feels like home. It feels right. It feels like God has planted us there. And so our staff, everyone on our staff is able to serve in the kitchen at least once a week. We're getting connected with the neighbors and the neighboring businesses in the area. It's been amazing for our staff to get settled into the office space. And so that was all about settling into the Hope Center in 2019. Our second goal was to establish regional leadership. And this comes within a broader goal that we have of having a plurality of leaders and a plurality of elders and deacons in each of the five major regions of the city. So Central LA, the Valley, the West Side, Northeast LA, and South County. And so this last year in 2019, we were able to take a big step in that direction by ordaining 4 new elders in our church, which is so good. And us being able to have the life of the church connected to the leadership of the church. They joined the 20 deacons that we already have, and that's been so good for us and will continue to be as we walk further into that vision. And then the third goal that we made in 2019 was to cultivate commitment. One of the primary areas that we worked on this was in community groups. So in 2019, we added 8 community groups, which brings us to 53 total community groups all over the city. We have a foundations guide that's really teaching the groups how to function as a family of disciples on mission with Jesus. And then a leadership handbook that's training the leaders to be able to facilitate this type of health and growth. There's a new thing that we did in 2019 to really help cultivate commitment, and that's called RLA Involve. We want to be able to see people move from showing up to church to getting plugged into the church. And so we started RLA Involve, which happens one time every month, and tries to get people plugged in. And all I can say about this looking back over 2019 is it's been a huge success. We had almost 300 people who came to RLA Involve, and over 92% of them joined a community group. So praise God to be able to see people getting more involved and connected in the church. And then one last area where we've really seen a deepening of commitment is in giving. We will give a formal financial update in a few weeks when everything is finalized. But I can already tell you that throughout 2019, our giving has consistently gone up. And that's so encouraging. Yeah. And it's not just about the money. It reveals a deeper level of commitment and generosity as God is giving us a greater passion for the city. So those are some of the ways that we followed up on the goals that we made in 2019. But there's also so many other things to celebrate as we look back in 2019. Let me just give you a few quick highlights as I rattle some of these off, okay? For the second time last year, we were able to do Royal Family Kids Camp. Royal Family Kids Camp is a camp we put on for about 40 kids in LA's foster care system. It takes 60 volunteers from our church and from a few other churches to be able to take a full week off and do that. It's an incredible experience. And this year, we also added a new element called Camp Club, where those volunteers were able to connect with the same kids throughout the year to build upon the relationships that they were formed at the camp. Another thing that we did in 2019 that we do every year, but you might not be aware of some of these, so it's a way to learn and give thanks in these areas, is we have our internship. Our internship is a 9-month training program focused on character development, spiritual formation, and leadership skills. We have 19 interns this year, and they've been learning a ton and serving a ton, and there's been a lot of fruit there. In 2019, we also had the marriage prep class twice, and we made a shift this last year in this of opening it up to couples who are not yet engaged, and then also couples who are already married, and that was great. We had over 150 people who went through the marriage prep course. We also saw a lot of growth and fruit in ICON. ICON is our ministry where we teach people to apply their faith to their work. And so we have these launch events that create communities of people who are in the same vocation. And so we already had communities for music, acting, and writing. But in 2019, we launched healthcare and design. And then in this coming year, we're gonna do education and food. We also have global partners all over the world that we are supporting, both in terms of prayer and finances and in other ways. Everything from a doctor in Kenya to missionaries in Romania and many more. But there was one story from this year that was especially encouraging to me. There was a guy in our church who was an animator, and we had lunch 6 years ago, and he was talking about wanting to be a missionary, and so I challenged him to use his animation skills for those very purposes. Well, he ended up going to the Middle East, learning Arabic, and now makes videos that teach the gospel there. And this last year, he came back and led a team of animators from our church on a week-long project of creating videos that tell the good news of Jesus for the Middle East. So what a beautiful way to see that the Lord's at work in so many ways, and you don't even get to hear all of them, but God's done such a good work. I could go on and on and on. We could talk about essentials and the gospel care basics and our local missions and the police officer and the princess and the Hollywood winter shelter and kids and youth, and there's so much more. But while I look back on 2019, ultimately, I just see that God has been so good. We put down roots, but God has bore much fruit. We tilled the soil, but God has brought the growth. God has been so faithful to us. He's been so gracious to us. He's been so kind to us. God has been so good to us. Church, can we put our hands together and celebrate what God has done for us and how good he's been to us? And as your pastor, I just want you to know that the other pastors and I are so grateful for you. We see your faithfulness and we give thanks to God. There was a lot of great things that happened in 2019, but there was also a lot of trials, hardships, and suffering. And we see you as individuals and as a community, focusing on Christ, persevering, following him and enduring in a city where that's not easy to do. So church, I want you to know, I'm proud of you. I'm grateful for you. I love you. And I'm excited to see then how the Lord is going to lead moving forward. So let's talk about that now. We've looked back where we've been. Let's talk now about where we are going. And first of all, We don't need to reinvent the wheel every year, okay? In 2020, we want to press in deeper to the vision that God has given us as a church. In 2020, we want to see more gospel renewal. We want to see more people get saved. We want to see more relationships get reconciled. We want to see more of Los Angeles impacted by the love of Jesus. But each year, it's helpful for us to also ask what the Lord would have us specifically focus on in that season. And so when we look into the year 2020, there are going to be a few major things happening culturally and even for us as a church that are going to affect all that, okay? So let's talk about a few of those. First of all, there's going to be this little thing in November called an election. Some of you just like your stress level just went up. Like, what? Yep, it's here, okay? And the election is not just going to affect the end of the year. It's going to dominate the whole year culturally. All right, this is what people are going to be talking about on the news, on social media, and in conversations in general. And I can already tell you what's going to happen, okay? Come November, someone's going to win an election, and half the country's going to freak out like it's the end of the world, and half the country's going to respond like we're one step away from utopia. But either way, politics is going to dominate 2020, that's for sure. Okay, so we need to think about that as we're looking forward into this year. There's another thing that's going to happen in 2020 that's going to affect us as a community, and this one actually involves me. Don't worry, I'm not running for president, okay? Let's just make that clear from the beginning, all right? We have a policy for pastors on staff that every 7 years you get a sabbatical in order to cultivate long-term health amongst our pastors. Well, I've been a pastor here at Reality LA for just over 7 years, and so this summer I'm going to be taking a sabbatical in May, June, and July. And I'm glad to tell you that I'm not on the edge of burnout. I actually feel really healthy. So this is not a forced sabbatical. It's a proactive sabbatical to cultivate long-term health and faithfulness. And I want to be really clear about this because for some of you, sabbaticals mean things, okay? And so let me be very clear. I'm not going anywhere, okay? This isn't about anything like that. This is 3 months to rest and recalibrate so that I can come back and do healthy ministry here for as long as the Lord will let me. I love this church. I mean it. I love this church. I love this city. And I would love nothing more than to be pastoring here for the rest of my life, okay? And I'm not worried about us as a church either. We always say around here that it's not about the preacher of the word, it's about the preaching of the word. And the word will be preached, and we have a great team that will make sure that everything is covered while I'm gone. Now, there's one other thing that I think is going to shape us as we look into 2020, and this comes from our pastors sitting down and praying and talking and saying, what do we want for the church in this upcoming year? One of the things that emerged out of those conversations and prayers is that we want to address some difficult topics. Things like, well, of course, we'll be talking about politics, but things like sexuality, gender, marriage and divorce, spiritual gifts, things that we've talked about before as a church, but are weighty, that can be difficult, and that we feel like we need to address anew and then have conversations about as a church. And so I want you to think about those three things that I just mentioned, okay? An election, a sabbatical, and difficult topics. And I want you to recognize that those are all potentially divisive, okay? Politics is tearing our country apart. It's brought division into many of your relationships. It's only going to get worse this year. When I leave for a sabbatical, that could be a downtime for us as a church. When we talk about difficult topics, it could be divisive. But I believe that all of these areas, which could be reasons for division, are ultimately going to be opportunities for unity. And here's why. Because we're going to be united, not by a political party or a single preacher or where we stand on every contentious topic. We are going to be united by Jesus. And this isn't just an idea from my head. It's a calling from God's word. I want to read to you a passage from Ephesians chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. I'm going to have the scripture on the screen behind me so you can follow along as well. But I want to read this passage out of Ephesians 1, and then I'm going to preach a little bit on it because I know today's a little bit of a different day. It's Vision Sunday, but you're not going to come to Reality LA and not hear the word preached. So let me read to you Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which is set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Now it starts off with in him. That's talking about Jesus, of course. And if there's anything that we do on Vision Sunday, it's a time to make sure that the main thing is the main thing around here. And the main thing is Jesus. And so it says, in him, and then it starts to unpack all that we have in Christ. In him, we have redemption. And to be redeemed means to be set free, to be set free from the slavery of sin, to be set free from the shackles of our past, to be set free from the power of the enemy. In Christ, we have redemption, but we also have forgiveness. So the guilt of our sin is removed, the punishment that we deserve taken, and a declaration of innocence is given. And not only in him do we have redemption and forgiveness, we have revelation. What was a mystery has been made known. We don't have to wonder. We're not in the dark. Does God care about us? No, we know God is for us. God loves you. And all of this, this redemption and forgiveness and revelation, all of this is according to the riches of his grace. Sometimes we wonder, is God running out of grace? Is there any left for me? Does he know what I've done? But no, we see here that he is abundant in his grace. He's a better savior than you are a sinner. He's got more mercy than you've got mess. And all of this, it says, comes through his blood. Three powerful words that point us to the cross of Christ, where we see that Jesus gave his life for us. He died for our sins. He rose so that we might have new life. He's alive and we can know him today. And so some of you need to start your year of 2020 off with the best decision you could ever make in your life, to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, to be set free from your sin, to be forgiven of your guilt, and to be transformed by the riches of God's grace in Christ. But look at verse 10. It says that God has made a plan for the fullness of time. And if God has a plan, then that means there's purpose to all of this. So what is his plan? It says that he has a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ. Unity. Unity can feel like a cheap word in our society today. It gets thrown in with shallow appeals for world peace and hollow cries of, can't we all just get along? But in the Bible, unity is of eternal significance, and here's why. Sin brings separation and division. Sin separates us from God. Sin brings division into marriages and families. Sin tears apart relationships. Sin turns one race against another. Sin creates a division in our own hearts. And we see the effects of this in Los Angeles. A while ago, I was flying into LAX, and from 30,000 feet, looking over Los Angeles, it looks like one city stitched together by freeways. But then, of course, you get on the ground, and you quickly realize that this city is divided. It hardly feels like a unified city. Our city is divided by race, it's divided by politics, it's divided by betrayal and crime and divorce. But look at what it says in Ephesians 1:10. God's plan for the fullness of time is to unite all things in Christ. So Jesus brings unity where there's division. Jesus brings peace where there's hostility. Jesus brings love where there's hate. Jesus brings reconciliation where there's separation. Jesus brings healing where there are wounds. And this unity that we have is a gift of grace from God. It's not a unity that is earned. It's a unity that's received. So Scripture calls us not to attain this unity, but to maintain the unity that's been given. The unity that was accomplished at the cross, where the dividing wall of hostility was torn down. This unity is at the heart of the gospel. If sin brings division, then the Bible is a story of God uniting all things in Christ. Jesus is putting back together what our sin has torn apart. Jesus is reconciling that which has been separated. Jesus is making whole everything that has been broken. He can do that work in your life this year. God's grace is the remedy for your divided heart and for your broken relationships. But not only can he do that work in your life as an individual, he can do that work in us as a community. And so here's how all of this applies to us as a church. In 2020, we believe God is calling us to be a people united by Jesus in a world divided by sin. And unity becomes an incredibly powerful idea when everything else is becoming increasingly fragmented. I was walking the other day just on the streets and thinking and praying about all of this. And the other pastors and I had been discerning this call towards unity. And I was praying to God and saying, God, I just want to make sure that this is from you, that it's not something of us. And God, what do you want for our church in 2020? And I felt like God impressed on my heart in that moment. Don't focus on unity for the sake of unity. Focus on Jesus and unity will happen. And so we want a Christ-centered unity. See, in a nation that's divided by politics, Jesus will give us unity. In a city that's divided by race and economics, Jesus will be our unity. In a culture that builds community around preference, Jesus is our source of unity. In John 17, it talks about how Jesus was praying on behalf of the church. And he prays for the church that they may be one. He's praying for the unity of the church. But he goes on in verse 21, when he says that they may be one, and he says, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. In other words, Jesus says, when the world sees the church's unity, they will know that the Father has sent the Son. And why is that? Because the world will look at the church, they'll look at us and think, why do all those people get along who come from different cultural backgrounds? Why are wealthy people friends with poor people? Why are people from different political parties doing life together? It's because of Jesus. The unity of the church is a display of the reconciling power of the gospel in a world being torn apart by sin. Francis Schaeffer calls the church's unity its final apologetic, its ultimate defense. He says this, we cannot expect the world to believe that the Father sent the Son, that Jesus' claims are true, and that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality of the oneness of true Christians. Can you imagine how powerful it will be for us in 2020 if we can be a unified people amidst a city that's being divided by politics and race and ultimately sin? This is what God is calling for us. And so while we want to press into this vision of being a people unified by Jesus, we got to ask the question, how are we going to get there? What are we gonna do to get there? And I wanna share with you three sermon series and three goals for 2020, okay? So we're gonna do three sermon series, and this is aimed towards unity in Christ. The first one is next week, we are going to start a sermon series on politics. Okay, some of you are really excited about that, and some of you are freaking out. But as I said before, this year is gonna be dominated by politics. And it's really important as followers of Jesus that we approach this the way that Scripture calls us to. It's really important that we think about government and politics and interacting with other people as Christians. And so we want to equip the church to be able to do that. And we're going to do this at the beginning of the year because we want to be proactive about this. Okay, we don't want to just be reactive as the year goes along and there's another headline or this happens and, oh no, like we haven't thought about this. What do we do? How do we think about this as Christians? No, we want to be proactive from the very beginning and say, here's what the Bible says about government. Here's what it looks like to follow Jesus amidst this cultural moment. And we want to do that at the beginning of the year so that we are ready and we're keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus throughout the year. So we'll do a series on politics and the way of Jesus that's gonna really keep us unified amidst a lot of political division. And then after that, we're going to do a sermon series on the book of 1 Corinthians. And I am so excited for this. We're gonna preach through every verse of every chapter in 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians has a lot of those difficult topics that the very same ones that we talked about how we want to address as a church. We're gonna talk about sexuality. We're gonna talk about gender. We're gonna talk about spiritual gifts. We're gonna talk about marriage. We're gonna talk about divorce. And so we're gonna preach on those topics. But then what we wanna make sure that in the midst of that, that we're looking to God's word. And what we see in 1 Corinthians is that it's talking about all these tough topics, but it's doing so in the context of a messy urban church that needs to make sure that it's being united in Christ. So we'll spend most of the year 2020 actually in the book of 1 Corinthians, being unified amidst all these difficult topics. And then the third sermon series that we're gonna do, this one will happen while I'm on sabbatical. We're gonna do a series that I'm calling Reality DNA. We're gonna have five different preachers from other reality churches that come in and preach on topics that we really think are DNA critical for all of the reality churches. So as we talk about being a unified people in this year, this is gonna be a great way that we are going to be able to be united with our sister churches in this broader family of churches. So three sermon series, and then there's three goals, okay? Three practical goals that we wanna do this year. First of all, we wanna continue to settle into the Hope Center. Okay, this is a massive thing for us as a church. And this means, this includes things that we've already talked about of getting more people plugged in the food ministry, and you'll be involved in events there throughout the year. But there are two new ways that this is going to play out this year. And the first one, and this is a pretty big announcement for us as a church. The first one is that we are going to be moving our 5 p.m. service from Helen Bernstein over to the Hope Center. Okay, and then so, as you know, over the last year, we've kept the 10:30 service at the Hope Center to help the people from Hope slowly integrate into our church, and that's been great. But it's really too hard doing services at the same time. We're stretched too thin in a variety of ways. It's not good. I'm running back and forth. And so what we're going to do is we're gonna move the 5 p.m. service over to the Hope Center, and we're gonna have the people who have been coming to the 10:30 service there join that service. So we'll have the 9 and the noon here at Bernstein, the same as we have, and then we'll have the 5 p.m. service at the Hope Center. This is not gonna happen right away. The plan is to do this sometime in March, Lord willing, because we need a little bit of time. We're gonna basically do a remodel of the sanctuary over there. And so we're gonna need some help from volunteers on some of that. And we'll also give you an opportunity to give financially towards that in a couple of weeks. And really, I'm really excited for this. It's gonna be really good for us as a church. The only potential problem with the 5 p.m. service at the Hope Center is going to be capacity. So what I wanna say to you all at this noon service is, you can't go to it, okay? It's gonna be great, can't go to it, all right? You need to stay here and commit to this service or to the 9 a.m. You can go and visit later, okay? But please stick to this service. It's gonna be really good for us as a church overall. There are ways that it is gonna benefit this service. I'm really excited for one of these ways. We are going to be moving our ASL ministry from the 5 p.m. service to this service at noon, okay? We have an ASL ministry. It's amazing. A lot of you don't get to see that because it's at the 5 p.m. We're gonna bring that to the noon. It'll bring a lot more exposure to that. We're hoping to really grow that ministry and reach that community here in Los Angeles. This is also going to enable us to be able to have kids ministry at all of our services now, which we haven't been able to do in the past. I also just want to assuage any fears that you might have with this. Change can bring that up in people. Some of you might be thinking, well, what's the long game? Are we leaving Bernstein? No, we love it here, okay? We have a great relationship with the school. We can only move the 5 p.m. service because it's our smallest service, and it will be a great way using the new space that God has given us. And by doing this, we're continuing a 90-year tradition of preaching the gospel on Fountain and Edgemont. So it's an incredible thing to be able to do that there. So that's the first way that we're gonna settle into the Hope Center in 2020. The second way that we're gonna settle into the Hope Center in 2020 is that in the fall, we're gonna begin doing a much bigger renovation campaign for the Hope Center and the office building. Now, the vision for this space is for it to be a hub of holistic renewal in the heart of Los Angeles. I'm talking about a 7 days a week ministry center where we are caring for people physically, spiritually, emotionally, and relationally. This is gonna be a place where people can come to receive, but also to be trained and sent out to do that ministry throughout the city. But to thrive as a hub of renewal, the buildings need to be renewed themselves. Okay, the church building was built in 1928. The office building was built in 1962. And they need some work done on them to bring them up to the capability to be able to continue and for these ministries to thrive. I mean, right now we're serving around 200 meals a day out of a kitchen that's probably the size of your kitchen, if not smaller. Okay, nothing in any of the spaces is up to ADA standards, which makes it difficult for us to reach the most marginalized people in the community. And the office building, hardly anything has been done to it since it's been built. So it has no air, the plumbing is outdated, many of the windows are cracked, and our staff is fine, we love it. But eventually it'll be great to bring renewal to that space in order to be able to bring renewal throughout the city more and more. So we'll be talking about all of that much more in the fall, okay? But think about it like this. The work that we're gonna be doing in the sanctuary in the next couple of months at the Hope Center will be a foretaste to that much bigger renovation coming later on. Okay, so our first goal in 2020 is to settle into the Hope Center, to continue to do that. Our second goal is to engage in difficult conversations with grace. So as I told you before, we wanna talk about politics and sexuality and race and these things that can be divisive and difficult. And so we're gonna preach on those, but we're also going to create middle spaces for dialogue, okay? We're gonna preach and then have events soon after where we can both have dialogue and model dialogue so that we can learn to have these difficult conversations with grace and truth. We'll also be not only having events for this throughout the year on certain topics, but also having some resources and guides for our community groups to be able to guide you in having some of those difficult conversations together. Okay, then the third goal looking into 2020 is that we want to intentionally cross boundary lines for deeper unity. Here's why this is important. Unity is different than uniformity, right? Uniformity is when we're all the same. Unity is when we're all different, but we're held together by something that's beyond us. And so this year, I want us to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And so here's what I mean by crossing boundary lines for deeper unity. I want to challenge you throughout this year to eat meals with people from a different cultural background, to find someone who you know disagrees politically with you and listen to them. When we talk about spiritual gifts, to find someone who has different gifts than you have and to hear what it's been like for them as they've tried to develop their gifts. And so let me review all of this quickly. In 2020, we believe that God is calling us to be a people united by Jesus in a city that's divided by sin. We're gonna have 3 sermon series towards this, one on politics, 1 Corinthians, and then one called Reality DNA. And we've got 3 goals for the year: to settle into the Hope Center, to engage in difficult conversations with grace, and intentionally cross boundary lines for deeper unity. And I wanna give you a vision for how this could play out for you personally. Just imagine at the end of this year, at the end of 2020, you can be a person who's being made whole by God's grace. At the end of 2020, you can be the kind of person who knows how to have hard conversations with grace and truth while respecting people and sustaining relationships. By the end of this year, you can be a part of a community where you have peace and unity in the midst of a season that is going to bring turmoil and division in our culture. But all of this, for you as individuals and for us as a church, is going to require faith. God is giving us vision, but it's going to take faith to follow him in that. Faith to believe that God can do more than we ask or imagine. Faith to believe God can save the lost and build up his church in the heart of Los Angeles. Faith to believe that God can unify a people in a year that's going to be so divisive. Faith to believe that God can work in your life in powerful ways. And faith to believe that God can use you as an instrument of his mercy. Well, I've tried in this time to lay out as clear as I can who we are and where we're going. So that just leaves one last question for us. What's your part? Well, beyond what I've laid out for this coming year in particular, there are seven ways of being involved in the church that we talk about every year. This is really a portrayal of what it means to be a healthy member of the body of Christ. And so I want to call you this year to gather together, to commit to church on Sundays and your community group throughout the week. I want to call you to reach together because we don't just gather as the church, we scatter as the church for mission. I want to call you to believe together, trusting in God and growing in the knowledge of Jesus. I want to call you to worship together, not just in song, but with your lives. I want to call you to pray together, crying out on behalf of our church and this city. I want to call you to serve together, denying yourself for the good of others. And I want to call you to give together, sacrificially contributing for the mission that God has called us to. And then I want to call you to a response today in a way that's different than normal, but has become a tradition for us on Vision Sunday. I've tried to lay out who we are and where we're going. And now we're going to respond in three ways. First, we're going to receive communion because our commitment is first and foremost to Jesus. And then second, we're going to do a responsive reading as a way of expressing our commitment together. And then we're going to pray because for all of this, we are completely dependent on God. But before we do that, I want you to know that everything that I've said today is on behalf of our elder team as a whole. We have talked and prayed and sought the Lord on your behalf. And so I want to invite them out, all of our elders, to come and join me on the stage along with the band. Guys, come on out. Can we give them a hand as they come out? These are men who love you and serve and pray for you constantly. All right. So, first, we're going to receive communion, and we're going to do that in a different way today. As a sign of our commitment to you and to the vision and mission of this church, we are going to serve you communion today. We have these little cups with the bread and the juice that we're going to pass out in just a moment. Now, this is LA, so I need to tell you that they are not gluten-free, okay? So we have our regular bread and cup over here that you can go to during this time if you need to. We love you. And as we pass these out, if you are a follower of Christ, then we want you to take one of these and hold on to it, okay? If you're here with us today and you're not a Christian, then we just ask that you let the basket pass on by. When we receive of the Lord's Supper, this is a sign that is reminding us of the grace that's been given to us in Christ and of our faith in him. So if you're not actually believing in Christ and living for him, we don't want to pressure you, that's okay, but we would ask that you not partake of the sign that points to that. It's going to be a time for you to reflect, okay? So we're going to pass out the elements. We want you to take those and hold on to them. Part of what's going to be different about how we're going to receive the Lord's Supper today is that as a sign of our unity, we're all going to take communion together at the same time. And so while we are serving communion, the band will be playing, and we're going to have some scriptures on the screen that will be the basis for the responsive reading that we're going to do. We want you to reflect on those verses and consider if you can express your commitment to Christ and the church in those ways. I want you to read these, to reflect on them. We take this very seriously. These are vows that we make together. This is an expression of our commitment to Christ and to his church and to the mission that he's given us in this city. So hold on to the bread and juice, reflect on the verses, and then we'll come back up front and I'll lead us through taking communion together. Okay, go ahead and get the bread ready. I want to read the word of the Lord to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now that we've received of God's grace in the Lord's Supper, I want to call us to respond with an expression of our commitment. I want to invite you to join us in standing as we do this responsive reading. The words are on the screen behind me, and I will read the sections noted reader, and then we'll all respond together nice and loud on the sections noted congregation. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." By God's grace, we will follow Jesus together, denying ourselves and trusting in him as Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. By God's grace, we will love the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. By God's grace, as we receive God's love, we will love one another as members of the body of Christ. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. By God's grace, we will love our city and pray on its behalf, knowing that God makes his appeal through us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you've given us your grace in sending your son, Jesus. We have the abundance of your mercy in him. We pray, God, that you would transform us by your love and your mercy and make us new. We pray, Lord, as we step into this new year with faith and expectancy, that you would work mightily in our hearts. God, where we have divided hearts, would you make us whole? Would you teach us? Would you mature us? Would you shepherd us? When we struggle, lift our heads to look to you. God, we pray for us as a church that you would cultivate unity, that we might be a people this year who are united in Christ in the middle of a city that's fragmented in so many ways. God, as we are united in Christ, we pray that that would show your love for the people of this city. And God, we pray that you would use us for your mission, for your glory, for your purposes. Here we are, God. Send us. God, we ask that you would do more than we could ever ask or imagine. And we pray that with faith, believing that you can do all things. May your spirit guide us as we look to Christ and follow him in this year. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more audio and video content, please visit realityla.com.